Welcome to Pioneer Church. We exist to be a gathering of kingdom people with kingdom passions who fulfill Jesus' kingdom purpose. The following message is from our Sunday morning worship gathering. To learn more about Pioneer Church, go online to www.pioneernc.com.
Hey, I don't know how many of you do this. I know it's kind of a weird thing that I do when I'm bored. Sometimes I'll go online and just search, what's the most valuable thing in the world? Anybody ever done that? No, just me, I know. I don't know, sometimes I think about that. I mean, I think, you know, if you look at, especially if you've traveled the world at all, you realize like how small Rockingham County, North Carolina is, right? I mean, you know, sometimes we think we're the king of the world until we get outside and start to look at the world. And so sometimes, man, I just think, man, in this world that God created, like these treasures that we see and that we possess, you know, how many of you ever watched Antiques Roadshow? Yeah, okay, now I'm gonna resonate a little bit more. Like what's the best episodes? Is it when you got this guy that thinks he's got something worth $1 million and it's worth 2 cents? Really? Something's wrong with you if you think that's the best episode. Like, man, there's these people that go, well, you know, my grandma had this and she passed it down and whatever. And, you know, I don't know if it's any good. It was actually, you know, just sitting in my closet. And they go, well, that's worth $2 billion. You know, I just always think that's cool. You know, these treasures that you don't think are there. Let me show you a couple of things that illustrate this. Anybody ever seen this? Like, if you have, you're way above me on the Antiques Roadshow scale. It's actually from Britain. It's a sculpture by Barbara Hepworth. It's bronze. It's modern, that's all I can tell you. It doesn't really serve a purpose other than it was in a library in a school in Great Britain. It was used as a paperweight. How much do you think that's worth? I'll throw something out there. $981,000, man. It was a paperweight on a desk of a librarian in Great Britain, right? How about these? Anybody ever seen these? These are Chinese drinking bowls made out of, all right, now this is cool, I guess, maybe not. Chinese drinking bowls made out of rhino horns. But now, like, not modern day rhinos, because that's bad, that's poaching. This is from like 500 years ago, okay? You know how much those are worth? $1.2 million. Guy in Oklahoma had them. He bought them for $5,000 from an estate sale. Because he knew they were expensive, but he didn't know how expensive. So he bought them for $5,000, sold them for $1.2 million, man. Talk about paying off your kids' college with some stuff in your closet. How many of you going to go like rummaging through stuff this afternoon? Like, I bet I got some stuff. So my point is this. There are things in our life that we don't realize the value of sometimes, right? Let me show you the most valuable thing I think's on the planet. Look at this picture. Can anybody relate to this, mamas? How many of you relate to this today, this morning? I'm going to give you a little insight into the Easter household. We can get up at 3:30 in the morning. We can have our clothes ironed, laid out. The car can be cranked at 3:30 in the morning. And we will be late to church. Why? Because life. This is every day for a lot of mamas, right? Now, I'm going to go ahead and just tell y'all something. That's a staged picture. You know how I know? Ain't no Cheerios in the floor. Ain't no laundry on the dining room table, right? Her shoes are way too clean. Right? Yeah, there's white walls. No, we don't do that, right? You mamas could tell me the reality of what it's like living day in and day out as a mama, right? You guys are one of the most valuable things on the planet. You need to know that today. We need you, mamas. The world needs you. And I realize on this special day that we celebrate Mother's Day, we need to pause and recognize what a great gift God has given us in our moms. And I realize that, again, it's a hard day for some of us because we know the gift of a mama and we don't have that anymore. Some of you have never known what that was like. Some of you have gone through your life with a very hard mother. And so this day maybe doesn't conjure up in you what it does for the rest of us. But whatever today means to you, I want you to kind of push all that to the side because I have what I think is a pretty simple goal this morning. I want you and I to look through the Word of God and find the value of a godly mama. You guys do a lot of things. You bring a lot of worth to your home. We need you. But here's what I can tell you. Not only your family needs, but the world needs more than you wearing all your different hats and you being able to do all these different things. You know what God needs from you, mamas? To have a white hot passion and pursuit for Jesus Christ. I've preached several Father's Day and Mother's Day sermons in my career. And here's what I always hear. Man, you always lift up the mamas on Mother's Day, right? You always make them feel good about themselves. You have punch and muffins. And then you just beat the junk out of dads on Father's Day and tell them how bad they are, right? And that's true, right? We kind of do that. We go, moms, you're great. Dads do better. We tend to do that, don't we? Today, my intention is never to beat up anybody with the Word of God. But I do think that what God wants to do in you moms this morning is challenge you. You are valuable. But I want to challenge you this morning in how or where you find your value. Because here's the reality. And we live in a broken world, right? And one of the main ways that that brokenness is evidenced is in the home. In the home. We live in a time where the home that God designed to be the thing that raises children in future generations has been devastated and torn apart. And mamas, we can say how bad the dads are doing, and we'd have some credence to that. But here's some things that I've noticed in the last few years in our culture, that's what's happening in the home, especially with mamas. And this is kind of why I'm challenging you today. The first thing I've noticed and we see in our country and in our culture is that there is an increasing amount of mamas doing it alone. Home is broken. Dads are absent. And you have to wear a lot of hats. You got to be mama and daddy, and it's hard. And we're going to spend some time, and I guess you could just call today the preamble of what's going to come the next few weeks, because we're going to talk about God's design for the family. God did not leave us to struggle here as his people. But then there's another thing I want to share with you that's a big cause of concern that we see in our world today, and it's the increasing number of mamas who are burning out. And not just pulling their hair out and I need a break. Man, it's some scary stuff that's going on in our world. I read an article this past week in the Journal of Psychiatry. Yes, laying around my house. It's not, I'm kidding. But here's what that article said. This is from the Bureau. They cited the Bureau of Justice Statistics. You guys understand the number one culprit of child homicides are parents? Like, that blew my mind. The number one offenders for child homicides are parents. The majority of those parents, you know who the murderer is? Mama. And they're not crimes of necessarily anger. I mean, just a few years ago, we heard this story from up in Michigan of this suburban mom who had it all together, who drove her minivan off into one of the lakes and drowned her kids and killed herself. 23% of mamas who kill their children commit suicide. postpartum depression is through the roof. And it's not lasting 6 months after the baby's born. It's lasting years. 41% of mothers who battle depression have committed to wanting to harm their children. Now, I want you to just, man, on a day like today where we celebrate mamas, we don't think about that kind of stuff. What's happened? What's happened in our world, in our culture, where we've gotten to a place where we'd rather just take them out than raise them? There's something wrong. Which leads me to one more reason for today's message, one concern that I see. It's the places that moms are seeking help in parenting. You guys are looking in wrong places. We all are, right? Facebook's one of them, right? We're going to talk about that in just a minute, but the way that our culture is wired and the things that our culture is putting out about its perception and standard of motherhood is nothing but detrimental to the health and future of the family. Put that in Rockingham County terms. The world ain't telling you nothing that's going to help you raise your kids God's way. And so I wanted you to know this morning, and the purpose of this message is to tell you there is a better way. God has a design for his families and for his mamas that he created specifically to raise other small human beings. Look, the end result of God's design is not burnout. It's not murder. It's honor and blessing and joy. And so let me ask you this morning, how many of you want that for your parenthood? So let's find out. If you have your Bibles, go with me, Proverbs chapter 31. Very familiar chapter. If you got a handout, most of those the texts we're going to use will be in that this morning. If you didn't get a handout, they're in the back there. You feel free to get one if you need to. But Proverbs 31 is not exclusively a motherhood psalm, okay? It's a psalm or proverb, not a psalm. It's a proverb. Y'all help me out this morning. That celebrates womanhood, okay? But what we find in this proverb are some things that show us that as a godly woman will spill over into motherhood, right? Because you parent the way you wired, don't you? I mean, good, bad, and ugly, right? We pass that along. And so there's three observations I want to make this morning. And listen, I've heard from some of you. I know y'all got to get to the restaurant. Dads, I know that you decided to cook for your wife today, and so you got to get to the restaurant because that's how you cook for your wife. I get that. So I'm going to be quick. I have 3 points and 3 sub-points, okay? So first, we'll start off Proverbs 31. Let's read it together. It's only 21 verses real quick. I'm going to read it to us, and I'm going to break them down, find these three observations. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She's like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers the field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hand to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing. And she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Some beautiful words there. But let me ask you, mamas, a question. How many of you feel disconnected from that proverb? How many of you go, well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you. I'm not even sure what flax is. I don't spin my own wool, right? I don't have maidens. Maybe my life would be better if I had some maidens, right? But we go, man, I don't connect with this woman, right? How many of you just say, you know, that sounds great. I'm not connecting with her. Well, don't let the context of the passage deter you from what the principles of the passage are. And here's what these principles are. Let me give you the first one. First observation of a godly mama is this. They're not the majority. If you feel like you're not connecting with this woman, there might be a reason. They're not a dime a dozen. Godly mamas are rare. How do we know that? Look at verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. Mama, if you want to be an excellent mama, you got to be different than the masses. There's two words there that I want to point out to you. The first one is excellent. There's a lot of words in Hebrew that mean the same thing, but it means worthy, strong, someone who stands apart from the rest of the crowd. Now, I don't know what it was like for you mamas when you were growing up or what kind of self-esteem you had when you were in school. Some of you were probably very confident. But can I tell you what the trends are in America? Most of us struggle with our self-worth, right? And so the way we cope with that is by being like everybody else. So we buy the same clothes, we buy the same car, we put our kids in the same daycares because we want to be like everybody else. This passage tells us if you want to be an excellent mama, you got to stand apart. Second thing I want you to understand is the word precious. It's a value term, right? It says that godly women are rare. They're like a costly jewel. And you do whatever's needed to buy that jewel and to keep it. So he's writing first to husbands. He's saying, man, you got a good woman, you've got something rare. You've got something precious. She is worth her value. Folks, this is certainly not portrayed in the world's perception of motherhood. Listen to me, mamas. Being a godly mama is not what the world is pursuing today. It's not a value system of theirs. The world doesn't care if you're godly. Just because, let me say this. So because the world is not about godliness, you have to be careful about where you're learning to be a mama from. Just because they have a podcast on motherhood, and just because they've written a book on it, doesn't mean they're going to help you become this excellent wife and mama. And sadly, we have to say that about a lot of things that are labeled Christian parenthood. So let me give you a quick litmus test. Stuff that you're listening to, stuff that you kind of fill your mind with. Here's a litmus test for whether or not it's teaching you godly values. You ready? Does it agree with the Bible? Is what is coming out of their mouth confirmed, or does it contradict what the Word of God says. Can I tell you something? There are things in our world that the Bible is kind of vague on, right? Things that you have to have wisdom to decipher and discern and understand. But God was pretty exhaustive when he wrote about parenthood. The Bible is filled with how he's called us to raise our children. There are no new trends in godly parenting. You listening to me? What worked for Abraham will work for you. What worked with Mary will work for you. Well, my son ain't Jesus. Well, that's true. But it will work because it's godly principles. And so if you've got somebody saying, listen, let me tell you how today's children work. I'm going to tell you how today's children work. They work like every child that's ever been. Man, here's this trend that's going on right now, even in Christian circles. It's self-discovery. Y'all heard this? We're going to let little Johnny self-discover. We'll let him go do his thing, right? And we're just there as, you know, we're going to catch him if he falls, but we're going to let him learn. We're going to let him make his mistakes. Can I tell you what's going to happen to Johnny? Johnny's going to be so daggone messed up that he's going to go make another generation of even more messed up folks. Babies don't come out of the womb knowing what to do. Whose job is it to teach them what to do? Mom and daddy. So like we're even at a place now in our culture where we're going to let them pick their own gender. Like you get that, right? Like, yeah, I don't know if he doesn't identify this way. You see, the world doesn't want to see godly children. So it does not care if you are a godly parent or not. And so you have to be very careful about where you are getting your information on being a mama. So you want to be an excellent woman. You want to be an excellent wife. You want to be an excellent mama. You have to do something that the world's not doing, which is this. You've got to let God build you into that mama. Listen to this. Proverbs 19:14. House and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from who? The Lord. The things that you don't know about being a godly mama right now, the things that you need are found not in a book, not in the world, but in God. And he will teach you those things. So I want you to write this key point down. Godly mamas are made by God, not the world. So here's my question to you this morning. Where did you learn to be a mama from? Chances are your mama, right? We all have examples in our life. The question is, were they the right examples? Some of you, again, you're in here this morning and you can't say you had a good example growing up, right? But God has told us that examples are important in learning how to be a godly mama. Let me show you this real quick. 1 Peter chapter 3. Don't be concerned, he's talking to mamas, to women. Don't be concerned about your outward beauty, your fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. But here's what I want to point out in this passage. This is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. So what is he doing? What's Peter doing? He's saying, look at the examples that came before you. You want to know how to live, how to conduct yourself, how to parent? Look at the godly people who have come before you. He says, they put their trust in God and accept the authority of their husbands. For instance, he gives us an example. Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham and called him her master. And you are her daughters when you do what is right without fear of what your husbands might do. So we know the context of that passage is talking about marriage, but the application is the same with mamas. Listen, you want to be a godly mama? Go find some godly mamas and be with them. Go hang out with them. Go ask them hard questions. And you know what they're going to tell you? But for the grace of God. Godly mamas are going to point you back to Jesus, right? And so I've got a couple questions in my challenge for you this morning. On your handout, two application questions I want you to look at. Who are you surrounding yourself with that's going to help you become a godly mama? Do you have godly influences in your life? I want to speak to my seasoned mamas for just a minute. Those of you who are on the other side of it, maybe grandmas now. Are you making yourself available to the young mamas in your life? You know, there's something about struggling. There's something about, you know, learning how to do it on your own. But there's something invaluable about coming alongside of them with experience and grace. And so my older mamas, my grandmas in here, are you making yourself available to mamas to help them become godly? You know, one of the greatest gifts of the church is each other. God has given us the gifts of one another to help us live the way God's designed. And so listen, you want to be a good mama? You want to be a godly mama? You got to be different than the rest of the world. And you've got to find your source in God and other godly women. Let's keep going. Number two. The writer of this proverb moves now into talking about the things that God builds into this type of woman, how he wires her. And there's some interesting statements made about the relationships that she has in her life because she is a godly woman. Look at verse 11 and 12. The heart of her husband trusts in her. He will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. So what is that? What's that saying about the relationship that she has with her husband? It's a good relationship, right? I mean, he can trust her. He does good to her. She's not a burden to him. And he's not a burden to her, hopefully. That's coming in June, by the way. But look at this, verse 28. Her children, so now we get into the mama side of things. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Let me ask you this morning, those of you that may have not had a good influence in your life growing up with your mama, could you call her blessed? You might say I could call her a lot of other things, but blessed is not one of them. You see, because she is who she is, her children are able to bless her. And her husband also, he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. You know what he's saying? I don't want another mama. I don't want another wife in my life because you are the best. Well, how did she get there? How did she get to that point? It's our second point this morning. Godly mamas possess God's character. This thing about this woman that caused her husband to praise her and her children to praise her is because she reflects the glory and character of her God in her life. And so the majority of the rest of the proverb is devoted to illustrating those characteristics, but there are three areas that those characteristics encapsulate, three relationships that I want to teach you real quickly this morning. And these relationships that we're going to talk about have to be in the right order that I'm going to tell you. One of the biggest issues, mamas, we face is that we get our life out of order. And when we get our life out of order, nothing goes right. And so I'm going to teach you how this woman's life was in order. The first relationship that she focused on was her relationship with God. Mamas, what's your relationship with God look like today, right now? What's it look like? Don't answer out loud. When's the last time he was the first person you talked to in the morning? And listen, man, I'm going to be empathetic with you because I live with a godly mama. And I know what it's like to hit the ground running at 5:30 and not stop to midnight. Man, this morning, she was up bright and early. I'm going to talk about her good because she ain't in here. Y'all can talk me up afterwards, you know, tell me how I'm made over. And everything I'm going to say to you, I've said to her. But man, she was up first thing this morning, bright and early, getting stuff ready for Pioneer Kids, man. Because she wants those kids to love Jesus. And she's rocking and rolling. I mean, it's Mother's Day. Man, you know, I'm groggy and trying to roll out of bed, and she's going boom, boom, boom. This woman in Proverbs 31, what's she doing? She don't let her candle burn out at night, right? She's wide open. She's spinning yarn and shearing sheep and doing all this stuff, right? And she's a go-getter. But not at the expense of her relationship with her God. Mamas, listen to me. You can be so much to everybody else that you completely neglect your own soul. And when that happens, you ain't no good to nobody. Not even yourself. And so this woman concentrated on her relationship with God. How do we know that? Look at verses 25 and 26. Strength and dignity are her clothing. And she laughs at the time to come. How many of you right now could laugh at your future? I mean, some of you got stuff going on right now that you're praying don't happen, right? But this woman can laugh at the time to come. And then here's the second thing. She opens her mouth with wisdom. And the teaching of kindness is on her heart. Two things that this woman exudes in her life. One, she's a woman of faith, man. You can't laugh at the future unless you know and are confident in the one who holds the future, right? If you're worried about your circumstances and your eyes are on your circumstances, you're not going to laugh at the future. You're going to be anxious. This woman can laugh at it because she is confident in the God who's in her future. But here's the second thing. She has wisdom. Where's wisdom come from, church? God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You can't have wisdom without God. You can have experience, but you can't have wisdom without God. And I want to just kind of, let me show you this translation. She laughs without fear of the future, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. So with her faith comes this understanding of God that she is then able to pass on to other people. Her wisdom and her teaching. So let me lay something out here for you that I think the church has done you a great disservice in, mamas. A godly woman, a godly mama, knows her Bible. She doesn't depend on the popular Christian author. She doesn't depend on the preacher. She shouldn't even have to depend on her husband to know her Bible. And look, man, our theology in this is all messed up in the church. I ain't said nothing about being a pastor or being an elder or anything like that. I'm talking about your relationship with God, mamas, is yours. And you have to take responsibility for it. Godly mamas know theology. They know the God that they serve and trust. And I wonder how many of us have relegated our spiritual maturity to what someone else knows about God. Listen, man, Bible studies are great. But Beth Moore is not your God. She's not responsible for your theology. Let me tell you how I know we've messed this up. If you go to major Christian conferences in America today, and they're geared towards women, you know what the message typically is? Well, God, you know, life hands you lemons, make lemonade. Be the best you can be. Right? We like these catchy, cute themes that we kind of push on our women because we don't think you can handle the meat of the word. Theology's for the men. Can I tell you something? I'll tell you, it happens in my house a lot. My boys have a question. They have a problem. They have an issue with life. You know who they're going to go to first? Mama. It's not that they don't love Daddy. It's not that Daddy's not capable of giving them the right answer. But she's Mama. They're around her more than they are me. And so what does that mean for my wife? She's going to give them an answer, right? What kind of answer is she giving them? What is she teaching my sons about God and life and pursuing Him? If it's just make lemonade out of lemons, that's not equipping future generations to be godly, kingdom-minded people. So mamas, listen to me. You got to know your Bible. But more importantly than that, you've got to know the God of your Bible. And here's why. I just mentioned it. You're going to be responsible for teaching it to your kids and to other women. Look at Titus chapter 2. Teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. And here's the key. Then they will not bring shame on the Word of God. When you get to heaven, mamas, you will stand before God and give an account for how well you knew the Word of God. So know your Bible. Read it. Make that relationship with God priority number one. Dads, help her do it. Make it easy for her to do it. Preaching to myself. Next relationship after the relationship with God is this one. I gotta work on my relationship with my spouse. If I'm married, God has given me a specific way to parent my children. And one of the most effective ways to raise children for the kingdom is by how they watch you love your spouse. Two reasons for that. Look at verse 11 and 12 again. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. You know what that means? He's not afraid to watch her work in the house and make decisions and manage the household. He's not afraid she's going to ruin everything or throw everything out and be self-sensitive or self-absorbed and make foolish decisions. He knows her. He trusts her. He knows that she has the best of intentions in their marriage first. And there's two reasons why this is important, why being a good spouse is vital to being a good mama. Here's the first one. Your marriage is a visual picture of the gospel to your kids. God has given your children a picture of what the gospel should look like every day in your marriage. Where do you find that out at? Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So what's the analogy there? Your marriage, your relationship is the same type of relationship that Jesus has with his church. Husbands, you're to love your wife sacrificially as Christ loved the church. Wives, you are to submit freely to your husband, meaning you trust him to make the best decisions that he can make as we trust Christ. Your relationship, your marriage is God's gift to your children of what the gospel should look like. So here's my question, mamas, daddies. What kind of picture of the gospel are you showing your kids in your marriage? Is it one of anger? Is it one of resentment, apathy, cynicism? Or is it a picture of loving, grace-filled joy? Do your kids resent when daddy walks in the door? Or when mama's on a tangent? When they're fighting with each other all the time? The most valuable thing mamas can give their kids is an understanding of the gospel by the way that they love their husband. But here's the second thing. It's kind of more practical. Mama, you are teaching your kids either what kind of spouse to be or what kind of spouse to pursue. The kind of spouse that I am will directly affect the kind of spouse my kids will be. Now, that can be positive or it can be real negative. Some of your kids may be going, you know what, when I grow up, I will not be like my mama or I will not be like my daddy. But don't you want them to say, man, I can't wait to find a woman like my mama. Or I'm going to be just like my mama to my husband. Mamas, which one do you want for your children? And listen, man, we're not perfect. We've blown it. I get it. But man, we have an obligation to our children to show them who they should be pursuing. Because here's what's going to happen, man. In just a few short years, Hayden is 9. We were talking about that the other day. In 9 years, he's going to go out on his own. That's all we got left with him. I mean, that's what I think about. Like 9 years. I got 9 years left to make an impression on him. To show him what a godly man looks like. To show him what to pursue. Man, he was just born yesterday, though. That's what's so weird about it. Like, I don't get it. It goes by so fast. And your window of opportunity is real small. What are you showing them about what to pursue? And then finally, the last one is the relationship with the kids. So, man, you want to be a good godly mama? Put these other relationships ahead of the relationship with your kids. Well, that doesn't make sense, does it? Absolutely it does. Because only when our relationship with God and our spouse is where it needs to be, can we then be the mama that we need to be to our babies. So when we look at verses 13 through 25, these are all these things that this mama taught her kids, man. Spinning yarn, that's a good work ethic, right? She taught them good financial management, wise planning, how to be generous to people, how to live a life of faith. And here's what it produced. It says her children rise up and call her blessed. You see, when my relationship with God's where it needs to be, he's going to set my priorities. He's going to set my work ethic. When my relationship with my spouse is where it needs to be, my love language is going to be where it's supposed to be. My joy and peace is going to be where it's supposed to be. And so as I live that out, you know what I'm doing? I'm just, man, my kids are just soaking all that up. How many of you would agree with this statement? Your kids pick up more of what you don't say than what you do. Would that not be true? They watch us more than they listen to us. I wish they did both. But they watch us. And they pick up what we don't say. They pick up the looks. And so if our life is saturated with Jesus and his gospel, they're going to pick up the right stuff, aren't they? And they're going to rise up and call us blessed. And so, mamas, you have a tough job, but understand that every day, everything you say, everything you do matters. Laura and I have a friend. She passed away several years ago. Her name's Melissa Lynch, and she was the wife of a good friend of mine, and she had this quote hanging up in her house. I think it was in her laundry room, because we all love laundry, don't we? I mean, I think there have probably been more washing machines cussed out in homes by mamas than anywhere anywhere else in the house, right? It's tedious. It never ends, right? And you go, man, these kids. Oh, why can't they wear the same pair of underwear three times a week? Some of them do. But man, life gets heavy and it's easy for you to want to kind of get inward focused, isn't it? She had this quote hanging up, and I don't know if she came up with it or if she read it somewhere, but man, it made an impression on Laura and myself. But listen, this is what she had, and she read it to herself. Everything that I present to my family is a reflection of my heart. I can either show them that I value them by giving of myself with joy, or I can do it begrudgingly because it's just something that has to be done. Mamas, you can provide everything your kids need and totally destroy them doing it. How you do things matter. Number three, final observation, and we're done. Moms, if you will take this message to heart and you will apply what we've seen so far, and you will give your life over to the Lordship of Christ and allow Him to shape you, then there's some things that you now get to look forward to. And this is the last observation of what a godly mama not only is, but what she gets to experience. Godly mamas get to experience a beautiful life of great honor and blessing. Look at verses 28 through 31 one more time. Her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Three things right there real quick in those passages that you get to look forward to. One, verse 28 says you get to look forward to a beautiful, healthy relationship with your family. You get to have children who will come over as adults and have a good conversation with you. You get to experience your home being a place of peace and joy if you'll commit to godliness as a wife and mama. Your kids grow up with confidence in you. Next, verse 31 says that the family is put in the city, in the gates, in the city square. So here's what that means. Man, you live a life of godliness as a wife and a mama. Here's what begins to happen. God begins to give you a platform. He begins to give you some influence in the lives of other people. So now, your grace-filled godly life doesn't just affect your own home. It starts to rub off on other people. Because listen, what's the goal here, folks? Why does God give us little humans to raise? What's the purpose? It's kingdom focused, right? Man, we're supposed to be raising up generations who impact this world for the kingdom. And if we get it right in our own home, God's going to go help us go get it right in other people's homes. And so we get a platform. Man, this woman's known in the city square. Man, she's got it going on. We bring further glory and honor to God through that. And then finally, you get to reap a harvest of rewards. Her children call her blessed, but look at verse 31. Give her the fruit of her hands. Let her enjoy what she has worked so hard all her life to achieve. And let her works praise her. I'm going to go out on a limb and be a little prophetic this morning as we close. But I'm sure the homemade cards that you probably got this morning or will get today are great, right? You love them. The flowers, the muffins, the free lunch. Maybe you get a break and a nap today. Maybe you get something real nice. I don't know. Maybe, you know, your husband just does it up for you today. As nice as all those things are, I'd be willing to bet that your heart beats for this. You've done good, Mama. You want to hear, you're good, Mama. That happens when we commit to a life of godliness. And listen, not just from our little babies who go, "Mom, I love you," right? We hear it from our Father. "Mama, there'll be a day when you stand before Almighty God and you're going to give an account for the life that you lived and the way you raised your babies. And you want to hear him say, 'Well done, good and faithful servant.'" You know how you do that? You commit to live a life of godliness. So here's my challenge as we leave today, man. You are building a legacy in your children. What you're doing right now is going to be reciprocated in just a few short years in another generation. What will that generation look like because of how you mama'd? What will it look like? If it doesn't look in a favorable way, what you gonna do about it? The way that you've mama'd up to today doesn't have to be the way that you mama from tomorrow on. And so we're going to pray here in just a minute. I want to pray for you, mamas. But maybe you're here this morning, you realize, man, I don't have it together like I thought I did. I've survived. I've tried to be like every other mama out there. But God said this morning that there's a different calling on my life. There's a different standard for me. There's a different way that he wants me to parent my children. And so as I pray this morning, I'm just encouraging you to get with God in this time of invitation and confess what he's revealed to you, man, about your shortcomings, about your failures as a mama. We all have them. And then here's what I want you to do, man. I want you to take this message and tomorrow morning get up and start living it. Instead of getting up and starting the coffee and doing another load of laundry first thing, go get your Bible and read it. Pray. Say, "God, this is new to me. I am so overwhelmed with anxiety right now because all this stuff's going on, and this is not what I'm used to, but this is what I know I need to do." And let him do what he does in you, mama. Let him change you. Let him get you where you're supposed to be. Maybe some of you need to go have a conversation with your spouse. Maybe y'all need to get a game plan for how you're going to parent from here on out. And it's not going to be his enemies. It's going to be the team that God's called you to be. Because there's a lot more at stake than just the happiness of your marriage. There's a lot of marriages at stake in the future. So I want you to bow your head and close your eyes this morning. As we begin our time of invitation, I just want to ask you just to, mamas, to just do business with God today. There is a beautiful, glorious future ahead of you if you will parent God's way. And I know that there are way too many excuses to number for why this might not work. Why you don't think you'll complete it. But here's what I'd ask you to do. Don't think about all the things that could go wrong with this. Would you just maybe start this morning, mama, by just laying your heart before God and asking him to make it what he wants it to be, to fill it with him. Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you for the gift of motherhood. Lord, there is not a relationship in our life like it. God, we know what it's like to parent in the midst of brokenness and sin. And Lord, we're grateful that you haven't called us to do it perfectly, but you have called us to be godly. And so, Lord, right now, as we prepare to end our morning in worship, my prayer is just that you would speak very specifically and very clearly right now to every heart of every mama in here. God, would you affirm the calling that you have put on their life, Lord? Let them know that, God, who they are and what you've called them to do, you will equip them to do. They have what it takes to be the godly mama that you've created them to be. But it can't be done apart from you. And so, Lord, for those that need to, Lord, recommit their life to you this morning, I pray that that would be the case. That they would realign the priorities. Lord, I pray that you would instill in them this deep desire to know you, to love you, to be loved by you, and to allow you to dictate their life. Father, would you help them, Lord, not to give in to the temptations of culture and to be like everybody else, but Lord, to stand apart, to stand out as a woman who says, I will do it your way and leave the results up to you. And Lord, would you just show them very clearly what you have waiting on them, the rewards, the honor, the glory, Lord, that you want to pour out on them for being a godly mama. So Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just speak truth right now and that we would respond appropriately. And Lord, I just pray right now for the men here today. God, the burden that our wives carry, Lord, help us not to be blind to it. God, forgive us for choosing when to be involved. Forgive us for allowing our wife to carry loads that they shouldn't have to carry. God, raise us up to be the men, the husbands that our wives need to be the godly wives you've called them to be. So Lord, as we sing to you, we just pray that you would do whatever you want in our hearts and we would respond appropriately. In Christ's name, amen.